Welcome to our Safety Month programming, and today we have two community interaction officers from South Patrol, Officer Mary McCall and Officer Aaron Whitehead. So we're going to continue talking about ways you can keep yourself safe when you're home in an environment where we have rising crime. Good morning, officers. Welcome to Caltown Conversations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
So Officer McCall, we'll start with you. Are you originally from Kansas City, Missouri?
I am not. I was born in Iowa and spent about 10 years in Oklahoma City and then moved to Kansas City. So I've been here about 27 years.
So you say you're from Iowa, so that means you just say, I got here as quick as I can, so you're still going to plan to leave Iowa going back. So Officer Whitehead, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're originally from Kansas City.
Yes, I'm actually Belton, but Kansas City area, and we moved up to Kansas City when I was pretty young, and lived out south all my life, and now I work there. So
I gotta say, you didn't go far. You went from home and stayed in South Patrol. So, Officer McCall, can you tell us what made you decide to become a police officer, and how long you've worked on the force?
So when I was 36 years old, I decided I was a stay-at-home mom while my kids were growing up, and I had always wanted to be a firefighter, actually. And my dad said way back in the day, you know, probably when I was a teenager, girls don't do that. Well, that made me kind of determine that I want to do that. But then when I tried, I was too old. So I have several family members that are on the PD, not our department, but in law enforcement. And so I did a few ride-alongs with my brother and brother-in-law and said I wanted to do it. So I did it. I've been with KCPD for almost 19 years now.
So Officer Whitehead, can you tell us what made you decide to become a police officer and how long you've been on the force?
My story is a little bit strange. My dad, he was a police officer in Kansas City. And all my life, he always had told me, you know, he said, don't be a police officer. Do anything else. Don't be a police officer. Don't be a police officer. And I guess kind of the same as Mary. But I always thought, well, I'm not going to be a police officer. I actually went to the Air Force to be
right
a
branch.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of different branches out there, but that was the smart one for me. So, I went to the Air Force and to be a firefighter. I actually was a firefighter in the Air Force, and I got that training, and I was going to be a fire. That was the plan, was to come back here and be a firefighter. Well, in between that, after I got out of the Air Force and got out of all my training, and I got back here, I was over at Whiteman. And I was working at Ozanam, Children's Home now. It used to be Boys Home. And out south. And there was another employee there that was asking me about being a police officer. He knew that my dad was a police officer. So I was going back to my dad and asking him questions for the employee that was wanting to be a police officer. And then going back at him and telling him the answers. Well, you know, that information was going through my head, you know, from him to him. And I thought, as I was doing that, I thought, man, that sounds like pretty good thing. And, you know, and I like to help people. And Ozanam was even really, Ozanam is kind of on a small scale of, you know, any of those places are on a small scale of kind of being, you know, the protector. And so I wanted to do that for my city, and so that was it. I went, and I've been a police officer for almost 20 years now.
So your dad's way of telling you not to do it, he turned around and put it into your brain and got you to do it.
Yes. And he was, you know, after I, and that people always ask me that question, well, what did your dad, you know, after you said that you wanted to be a police officer, and he said that he was very, you know, he was proud of me, and he wanted me to make that decision for me, not to just do it because he did it, you know. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
So Officer McCall, you all are community interaction officers. What is a community interaction officer?
Short and sweet, I think our job is to connect the community with the police department and the police department with the community. But we have several different roles that we play. It's anywhere from attending an HOA meeting to planning an event, attending an event. It's just every connection that we can have with the department and the community just brings us together and closer.
And it's also, people have to understand, there are 500,000 people in the Kansas City metropolitan area. You all can't do that without some eyes and ears and people being involved and engaged, correct?
Correct.
So, Officer Whitehead, back to kind of your story is going to come up interesting. KCPD is always looking to hire officers in civilian positions. What are the requirements to apply for to be a police officer or work for the city?
21 for a police officer and a high school diploma is all you have to apply. Now, then once you get into that application, they're going to do a background check and check through things. You're going to have to do a physical agilities test and, you know, be able to do some push-ups and some sit-ups and run a little bit, you know, and then they kind of go from there. So, and once they get all that information.
So. And you all are definitely always hiring, and that hiring sign is on up later. I think it's later on this year you all are having a KCPD hiring fair.
Yes, and I don't know the date for that.
I want to say it's July, like the 28th, somewhere. It's like
in very July. Close.
Yeah, and that is going to also, so police, we're hiring police officers. I mean, we need police officers badly, but we're also hiring, there is a lot of good civilian positions that you can come and be on the police department. Mechanic is a great job on the police department. They have nice hours, you know, and you know it's not the same as being a mechanic at a dealership where you kind of run ragged, you know, and so. But yeah, we have mechanics, we have people that handle the property and evidence, and we have desk clerks, and we have dispatchers, and which we need dispatchers desperately too. So I mean, there's a lot of good jobs.
Officer McCall, many people may not know that KCPD classifies calls in two ways, emergency and non-emergency. What is an example of emergency call and an example of a non-emergency call?
An emergency call would be something where, say, a child calls 911, mom and dad are screaming and fighting, they're scared, they don't know what's going on, injury accident where somebody needs an ambulance, shots fired call. Sound of shots and shots fired is completely different, and I think a lot of people get that confused. An armed robbery, that's a 911, that's an emergency call. An armed robbery is when it's an active situation going on with some type of weapon.
Shooting. Non-emergency?
Non-emergency would be an accident involving, you know...
No injuries.
Injuries. Involved with a curb, a manhole, you know, something like that.
Oh, we got jokes this morning. I'll talk about that one in a second.
Non-emergency, you would call the 234-5111. 911 is used for the emergencies. That's when you want the police there now with lights and sirens.
So, for not many people know, and a few people in Kansas City know, yesterday I had a traffic accident that happened to be not my fault. I was driving on 87th Street and there was a manhole that had no lid and there was a car close to me, so I couldn't go over. I missed it with the front wheels, but I hit it with the back wheels and it broke my rim. It blew out the tire and tore the exhaust off of my vehicle. So that's the damage I can see so far. It hasn't even been 24 hours yet. So I've got to go today and file that police report. You know, but I will say this, folks, if you have a situation like that with the city, you know, I went back, I took pictures, I then turned around and called 311 to let them know that it was there, that I had to wait 2 hours for the tow truck to come, and then, but then the city sent somebody out within about 30 minutes, and then they sent another truck out Well, I was still waiting on a tow truck for them to fix it because the city employee said that it was a warped lid. So it's kind of one of those things. But as we'll flip back and forth. But well, no, let me continue. So when you have an accident, Officer McCall, what is it that people should do when you have an accident like I had an accident yesterday?
So like with your accident with the manholes involving one vehicle, you of course want to get to safety. You know, you don't want to stay in the middle lane and get over, pull out. If you can't get off the street, use your flashers. If you can get off the street, get completely off the street. If you need the police, call the non-emergency number, 911. If it's involving a second vehicle, and say it's non-injury, you don't need the police to respond, you're going to walk the report in or file it online, you always want to get pictures, take, and I suggest to people, the easiest way, instead of writing everything down, take a picture of the vehicle, take a picture of the license plate, take a picture of the driver's license, and take a picture of the other person's insurance card. The only thing that you would need to write down or put into your phone would be their cell phone number. Then you have all that information to file the report with.
And I will say this, it's been an interesting year because I got hit by a vehicle and they presented insurance, but then when I called, it's like, oh, they did have insurance. But the one thing I will say is that like yesterday, I took pictures of the driver who was driving the vehicle. I took pictures of the car, my damage, their damage, pictures of the plate. It's because what a lot of people may not know, in the state of Missouri, if you're involved with a wreck with somebody who's uninsured, you can file a paper with Jeff City where they will suspend their license, and they will also turn around and make sure that you get your money back. And your insurance company will either do that, or if you can't, you're having difficulty, you can do that yourself. So that's kind of a definitely, we understand a lot of people may not have insurance, but in that situation, you definitely want to make sure that you have did all the paperwork that you want to do to be able to keep yourself safe, but also get reimbursed, because a tiny accident today can run into thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I mean, quickly thousands. So Officer Whitehead, when we are sometimes in an emergency, we're calling 911, we're so razzled and frazzled, what is it that you all need to accurately assess the situation that's going on to send the right response of help?
That's hard because and stay calm. I would say that's the biggest thing, is to just stay calm. Try to stay calm, and so that you're, because what happens is, and police officers, we do it too. You know, from time to time when they get stressed out, you know, a police officer will get on their walkies and you just can't understand them, and we can't get help even to another police officer because they're not calm. They're not keeping that that voice to where it's clear for the dispatcher to hear. Just answering the questions, because the dispatcher's then going to ask you, you know, a series of questions, and they may sound, you know, sometimes you may not understand why those questions relate to what you're calling about, but the dispatcher has a reason that they're asking those questions. So, you know, if you can grab a piece of paper, you know, if there's something where there's a suspect or a car or something like that, and write it down. There's also some research out there that you quickly in a stressful situation you start forgetting those things, and even changing from red to blue. I mean, something that just seems like you couldn't change from seeing a car that's red and then later in your mind think it's a blue car, but it happens. I mean, in stressful situations, and you would know that, I'm sure. But
yeah, I was frozen yesterday. I'm not gonna lie.
So yeah, just staying calm and get, if you have pen and paper, start writing things down as quickly as possible. You take pictures if you can, get your camera out and be in a safe place. Use your camera. Use those things that you have with you.
And that's what I did yesterday when the manhole flipped this lid. You know, went back, took pictures, called the city 311 and let them know it was there. It was a dangerous situation. then started looking to assess my vehicle. Then about 20 minutes later, the city personnel came down, and I went down and talked with him and took pictures again, you know, so I then and asked him his name, so I've got that information, like, so I've got to know who responded, this is the vehicle number, so then called my insurance to get safety, to get a tow truck, and then, you know, I was still sitting there waiting 2 hours, and then somebody, another city employee came and, you know, took pictures of that. This kind of goes back to military training. Document, make sure that you've got everything where you need it, so if something happens to you, the pictures can tell the story that you can't tell. And as you said, it's so critical to stay focused, but also take those pictures, because you can go back and refresh your memory by looking at the pictures, and your insurance company may ask you those questions, you know. And also, I had a case, like I said, with the truck that hit me, with make sure I got a picture of the, took a snapshot of his license. So, this is a license he's presenting to me. All that information, I think this is a case where you can never not have enough documented proof, or I'm kind of going from there.
Yeah.
So, Officer McCall, June is National Safety Month, and there's so much going on in the world. We have shootings in grocery stores, shootings at schools, shootings at a medical office in Tulsa. How important is it to be aware of your situation, your surroundings, and what can we do? Let's go there. How important is it to be aware of your situation and your surroundings?
Very important. I think the thing I've taught my kids from the beginning, know where you're at, especially if you're in a new city. And I learned this before I even became a police officer. I was doing ride-alongs. You have to go on ride-alongs before you become an officer or join the academy. And one of the most important things the officers taught me was if you're in a new place, you don't know where you're at, every single intersection that you come to, tell yourself, even if you have to say it out loud, I'm at 39th and Main, I'm at 40th and Main, I'm at 41st and Main. Tell yourself over and over where you're at. That's the most important thing. If something tragic happens, whether it's a car accident, a shooting, somebody's chasing you, you know, whatever, your brain's going to tell yourself where you were, the last thing that you remember. So you may not know exactly the location, but you're going to know the area. So knowing your surroundings, looking around, stay off the cell phone when you're driving, and look around at the buildings, the people. You know, when you see something, say something, and know your location.
This has got to be my week, because everybody's going to get a laugh out every day, out of everything that came out today. So Sunday was Father's Day, so I get up, I go outside my house, and if anybody knows me, there's one vehicle in the world that I love and I want. It's anything by Porsche, but I have certain ones that I want. So I go outside, and there's a Porsche Macan parked in front of my house, but it's on the other side of the street. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. $100,000 vehicle parked in front of my house. And I'm like, you know, the joke was I put on social media was, you know, maybe my kids got me something for Father's Day. And I'm like, that was definitely the joke, because I know the value. I'm like, nope. So I run an errand. I'm looking at the car. I come back, run another errand. I'm coming back the other way, and I notice the car has no tags on it. So now it's a totally different situation. I'm like, yep, I got to call the non-emergency number, which is what I did. And I said, there's a $100,000 vehicle parked on it. It doesn't have a boat, so I know it's not my Father's Day gift. And Sunday's always slow for law enforcement, so they were out in about 20 minutes. So by the time I went to church, I went out there and talked to them. And they were saying, yep, it's stolen. I'm like, well, I figured that. And I'm like, everything inside was ransacked. There was no tag yet. The car was stolen. So, but just came from me being aware of my situations and surrounding what was there. And sometimes we've all got that little intuition. This just doesn't look right. And that, to me, just didn't look right.
So don't have tunnel vision.
No, tunnel vision. I would rather say I would have, should have, could have, and did it, instead of saying, well, maybe I just didn't decide. No, that can be definitely something that will definitely get you in trouble.
And you called the police. Like, so many people wait for somebody else to do it. And that's one of the big things that Aaron and I try to push. Don't wait for somebody else. If you hear shots fired in your neighborhood, don't wait for somebody else to call. You call. If you see a suspicious car in your neighborhood, don't wait for the other neighbor to call that is parked in front of, call yourself, you know?
Yep, and like I said, I know, and I've got a Ring doorbell, so I'm like, okay, it came at this time, and I'm like, it's still here, but it's got no tags on it. I'm like, nah, that doesn't kind of work out. So, but yeah, you definitely have to be aware. And to me, that awareness was backed up. KCPD offers something unique here. It's called the Citizens Police Academy. Officer Whitehead, can you tell us what the Citizens Police Academy is? I know they just had a class that graduated about 3 or 4 days ago.
Did they? I wish we had one of our great volunteers that we have that, from the alumni down here, because they actually work with us and they, you know, they volunteer with us and we're with them quite a bit. We love our Kansas City Police Citizens Academy alumni, but that's I believe it's a 13-week
11.
It's 11. Okay,
mm-hmm. I've been twice.
Okay,
I was supposed
okay.
to win the first
there
time
you go.
To talk about it.
And it's, you know, once a week, every week for 11 weeks. Then, mm-hmm. and they go around to all the different stations. They might meet down at the helicopter pad. Mm-hmm. They'll go and meet with the K-9 guys. They'll meet with bomb and arson, and if they're available, and just get overviews of all these different parts and aspects of the department. It's very informative, and everybody that I know that has gone has really enjoyed it. They'll go down to the property and evidence down there at East Zone and get to see, I think, some of that, you know, and see how that kind of works and see some of these processes that, that the police department does.
One of the things...
Dispatch.
Yep. One of the things when I went the first time, you go to the academy, and we got to go into the training simulators where you're going into that office and it's a situation and you've got X number of seconds to decide whether it's friend or foe and decide whether you're going to shoot or not shoot. That was interesting. I think the biggest thing I liked the first time was when the crime scene used to be on Troost, and we went out there that night and we did fingerprinting, and they had set their locker room up like it was a crime scene and walked us through how they processed that particular information. And I was like, okay, where'd the blood come from? It's like, oh, I got it from the pig butcher. I'm like, I just wanted to make sure. So, but, you know, we went to the helicopter. One of the great things for me was traffic coming in, because you got to put a name to a face, make that contact. And we have a lot of speeding in different neighborhoods, and we would tell them, and they said, you know, you can work with the police department, figure out what time they're coming through speeding, what days of the week they're coming through speeding, let your CIO at your station know, and they can have people kind of there. And once you get that first person that gets that speeding ticket, everything kind of slows down and calms down on that particular situation. So it's a great program. I think the next one starts in August. Second part of fun, going down Prospect at 80 miles an hour and nobody was chasing us because we were responding to a call. And, you know, it was like we did that twice and it was like definitely interesting. So being able to legally go down the street at that speed without the fear of getting a ticket. So that was fun. I think that was kind of the when they was like, you got your seatbelt on? I'm like, yeah, I got my seatbelt on. So, but it also highlights some of the other things with, you know, there was a situation where there was an individual taken to jail and it was 10 people and only 2 police officers. So it's definitely there. The other thing I took away about that is that the officers that patrol our communities know their community. Because that we went to a one stop and he looked at the young girl, he said, I know you from somewhere. Isn't your boyfriend XYZ? And she said, uh-huh. And he just shook his head. It's like, okay. They know the people in the community, and they know the people that, you know, unfortunately making problems in the community, and they're working to get those people out. So it was definitely an interesting experience. So if you've never been, I would highly recommend going, because you learn so much to work with your community, your neighborhood, and keep people safe. So yeah. Let's see where we were at here. Another thing, when officers come out, Officer McCall, you call 911. Sometimes the police officers will respond and they'll come up to your door. And I know in my neighborhood, we ask them to call people on their cell phone so then people wouldn't be fearful. Many people may not know you can, you know, tell them this, what's going on. When they roll down your block, then it's not you pointing it out. You know, you may be on the phone with them, but nobody knows you were the one to call them. How important is that type of relationship with the community to be able to build that trust so we all begin to work together to keep our neighbors and community safer?
Well, I think knowing that you can make an anonymous call and report something and be able to contact the officers by cell phone, I mean, it's going to build the trust and help. We don't know what's going on unless you tell us. But if you're afraid or you don't want the police to come to the door because of retaliation or repercussions, doing that anonymously or just making contact with them by phone is really important for us. And it, I mean, it makes them feel safe. So I think it, I mean, it's 100% works if you just, if you don't want the officers knocking at your door.
So Officer Whitehead, with this excessive heat, and people may get concerned if they don't see their neighbors, you know, or, you know, you saw them Monday, but, you know, the door hasn't opened up, the mail's piling up. Many people may not know that KCPD has a program where they can go and do a health and wellness check. What can you tell us about that, and what is the health and wellness check?
And yes, the health wellness check, you know, we would just go and check the welfare is what the call would come out as for us. And, you know, I would suggest if you can yourself already go over and knock on the door yourself, your neighbors, you know, if it's something that you feel safe with doing, try to get any information that that you might be able to get if you have phone numbers or anything like that before you call. And then call, make that call. We'll come out and, you know, it just depends on the situation, but you know, it may end up where we call the fire department if we can't get a hold of somebody inside the house, and there's some others, you know, we're not just going to kick the door of anybody's house, but you know, if there's something that leads us to believe that there's somebody in there, they might be somebody on the inside just scream, you know, hollering or just saying help, can you help, can you help? Or we might look in through one of the windows and see somebody laying on the ground and they're waving, you know, hey, I need help or whatever. Well, in those situations, you know, we would have the fire department come and they would relieve the door of the lock, and we would go in and they would try to give services to the person. But that check to welfare, it can go down. It's a very broad call that can just go. It can spider a lot of different ways. But the police, you know, as the police department, what I want to say about it is, you know, you may not be able to. You may not realize what we can do to try to get into that house or try to get that person help. We've just been doing it for a while. We have experience on our side. So
if you have questions for officers here, give us a call in our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-5534. Officer McCall, you know, there's a lot of theft, a lot of burglary, robberies going on. People's houses being broken into. But many people may not know that the community action officers will come out to your house and show you the weak and vulnerable spots of your house. You know, will they walk around? Can you tell us a little bit about that and the process and how people can, you know, ask to get that done?
Sure. So it's called a safety survey, and we'll come out to the house and we walk the perimeter and the inside, if you wish, and just tell you different things, like something as simple as a bush at your front door. We have the 2 foot, 6 foot rule. So a bush should be no higher than 2 feet. And the tree, if you can reach up and grab the branch, or 6 foot, then it's too low. So, and the theory behind that is you don't want any place that anybody can hide. So we come out and do the safety survey. We do it at schools. We do it at businesses. We do it at churches, and we do it at your home.
And if you want to do some extra research on that the program that she's talking about is SEPTED, which is crime prevention through environmental design. There's all kinds of information online about it. If it's something you just want to do yourself and look it up and see kind of, and that's the training that we've been through that we'll show you at the house. Yeah.
I know that's the long, I know sometimes you all do the long course, and I would love to sit in on the long course, because They also do that program for those, for landlords and different people, mm-hmm. through the crime-free multi-family housing. And I got familiar with that because that's part of Citizens Police Academy. And we, you learn how to solve problems before those problems become a bigger problem, mm-hmm. or whether smaller, or if you've got a bigger problem, how to put that problem on somebody else's radar. And, you know, once we solve that problem, once we solve the problem, it didn't get bigger, then ownership changed hands, because it's the police, codes, all those different things you need to keep that property clean, to keep those residents in the neighborhood feeling safe and secure. So crime-free multifamily housing program is one of the other programs that you can do. So Officer Whitehead, in a few days it's going to be July the 4th. Are fireworks legal in Kansas City?
No.
And then we have people who want to go from the next aspect to go outside with celebratory gunfire. How dangerous is that? And that's not legal either.
No.
How dangerous is celebratory gunfire?
Well, it killed people, and it happens. I don't know if it's every year, but almost every year, a bullet comes up, or you shoot a bullet up. It's going to come down somewhere, and when they come back down, they still have almost the same velocity, and they kill people. We have people that just get. It's just such a. When you say 4th of July, I just cringe, because I just know what's going to happen, and I wish people would be more safe and make better decisions. Call the police, but on that night we're gonna have just not enough people. There won't be enough officers, nowhere near enough officers to go around to all the different people that are making all these bad choices of going out and shooting their guns. You just don't know where that bullet's gonna go. There's so many people in Kansas City, 500,000 people. We already talked about the 500,000 people. And there are so many different things that can, bad things that can happen. Cars get hit, houses. And then the next day, the police will go out. How many reports will we take the next day of property damage? Bullets in windshields, bullets through people's glass, bullets through people's ceilings. Every year I get.
Through their bedroom walls.
I get. Where the bullet came back down through the roof, through the ceiling, and into their house.
And people need to definitely understand it. That young girl that was killed a couple of years ago when they were over at the lake out behind the stadium shooting.
Blair,
there's a law now. So if you were to accidentally kill somebody in that situation, it can be traced back to you folks. The ballistics don't lie. That individual, I think he got six or eight years in Jeff City because, it wasn't their intent to kill anybody, but unfortunately, during that situation, somebody was killed. And I know another friend, they were outside, it's been about 20 years ago, they were outside 4th of July, and they were getting ready to do the same thing, celebratory gunfire, and the young man that was standing next to the person said, "I don't feel well," and all of a sudden, all they saw was blood, and somebody else's bullet had came down, and hit him in the center of the head, and he died instantly. He died. So. It's better to go someplace and watch an organized event, rather than being at home. You may be just a little bit safer, so just something to think about. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations, and our guests today are Officer Mary McCall and Officer Aaron Whitehead, who are Community Action Officers for South Patrol. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM. And we've got a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and what part of the town you're calling from, what your question or comment is?
Sure. My name is Chris, and we live in the South Waldo area, and just kind of had a question about the homeless problem, where people on the corners kind of begging for money and sometimes kind of harassing people while you're walking by. And we have some kids that didn't know if there's anything that can be done, either call a phone number. We've called the non-emergency number on some of them that are intoxicated. An officer has shown up, so just kind of curious what to do about that.
Yeah, that's the right thing, first of all. Calling 911 or non-emergency number when, especially if they're intoxicated and a lot of times they're, you know, aggressive at the intersections. Again, during those times, just call. It may be a while for the officer gets there, but the officer will get there and at least have a chance to confront is probably a good word with the person who's there. I would also say getting involved and calling the council and getting, you know, just letting them know your concerns. I know right now, because they're trying to make a lot of decisions. They have in the city, they have a new homeless coordinator, and what's his name?
Josh Hinges.
Josh. Where he's kind of the director now for that, and trying to make some changes. Well, I think they certainly need to know from the community what they want, you know, what kind of changes they want to see. I know they're working. I just heard the other day they're considering putting up, you know, some kind of signs at the high traffic intersections, saying, you know, don't give money to the homeless or whatever, something like that. I can't remember, but here's some good ways to donate to the homeless by giving to, you know, there's several great organizations in the Kansas City area, and they put those on the sign. Well, I've heard that has kind of helped in some other cities, kind of relieving some of that. Everybody wants to give them a dollar or something, and they're going to keep on coming back for that dollar.
Okay.
Not everybody.
Do you know if there's any way to request that sign at a certain area? Or?
That's what I'm saying is right now they're just
Contact Josh.
If you can get a hold of Josh or your city councilman, which I believe you're in the 5th district in the Waldo area, either one, and just letting them know that's something that you would like to see, that you would be for. I think they're just right now in discussions on if they want to proceed with that program or not.
Okay.
You know,
okay, thank you so much.
I think it would be a good thing, but
yes. So. All right, thank you so much, and have a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's also they can. That would be 5th District Councilwoman Raina Park Shaw, and invite. Suggesting I would say is invite those people to your neighborhood meeting to come out, and kind of discuss your concerns with them.
Be 6th district. Waldo is 6th or 5th, I'm not sure.
If it's 6th district, then it would be Andrea Boo and Kevin McManus. And then the other one is, I can't think who the...
Raina Park Shaw and Lee Barnes.
Lee Barnes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I know they come out, and you can definitely call their aides if you have problems with different things in your neighborhood, and they will definitely help you, be instrumental getting you to the point where you want to go. While we went on break, we had just talked about something. You were saying that right now there's legislation in Jeff City to make the celebratory gunfire a higher crime, because right now it's currently classified. Is it a felony or is it a low level felony?
No, neither. Right now it's all it would be is firing a handgun, or, you know, a firearm in a city limits, and it's a city charge. Which is
just a fine only.
Fine, I don't know, $200 fine, yeah. Or $300, I don't know if it's even $300 for firing a gun off in the city limits. What they're working on in Jeff City is, it's called the Blair's Law for Blair, and it would make it a Class D misdemeanor, which is a state level, crime instead of, you know, which can have
it would have more bite than what it do a municipal crime, which means the fine could increase, and also the amount of time that you would spend behind bars if convicted would also increase.
Yeah.
Yes.
So make it just underneath this, a federal charge. Officer McCall, KCPD offers many other classes and programs, self defense for women. What are some of the classes that you currently have to keep people from being a victim of crime? And, you know, when would the next one, some of them start?
So you hit the one, the women's self-defense. We have the women's self-defense. We have several different programs that teach people, like the Citizens Police Academy. The Explorer program works with kids. The safety surveys that we do, presentations that we do. I mean, there's a whole load of different things that you can take to prevent. The 9 p.m. routine that we do, we pass out at all of our events. I think it's called hashtag 9 p.m. routine. And it's just a series of things that you can do to make your home safe and to make sure things are safe and secure before you go to bed at night. The Women's Defense class, I don't have the exact date, but if you go to kcpd.org, their website will tell you the next class that is coming up. And that is, I think it's several times a year. We have school presentations. We do school presentations at church. We go out and talk, at schools, and we go out and talk to the kids about safety. And we talk. We do active shooter training. We have that at our churches, schools, businesses. Just about anything that you need and want to cover. We do presentations for the elderly at nursing homes or retirement villages to teach them from becoming a victim of fraud.
So I know also you all do gun locks also. I mean,
yes.
So if somebody, we have a lot of people across the city who may have guns, may not keep them in a secured gun storage or gun vault, and these guns 90% of the time weapons are loaded. So if somebody wanted a gun lock, could they come to any police station and ask for a gun lock, or how does that particularly work, or who would they need to contact?
Absolutely. And if we're out, we have a whole basket in our van right now ready to take to, we have a fireworks event that we're working on Saturday, a legal fireworks event. but if you or know anyone or have a gun that needs to be locked up, call any Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. They will connect you with the community interaction officers, or the desk sergeants may have them up front. No questions asked. We're not going to run you. We're not going to see if you have warrants. We don't care if you need a gun lock. We're going to provide you the gun lock.
Officer Whitehead, those nine after nine, and I, a lot of people don't understand what that means, but when you usually go to bed about 9 o'clock, and if you're on social media, or if you're on Nextdoor, I wake up every morning and I see people. Somebody went in my car, ransacked and vandalized it. One of those first things at 9 after 9 is to make sure that you click the fob on your car to make sure that your car is locked for the night. I know it says pick up the mail, do the lighting, turn the porch light on because people don't like light. And it's been about 4 years ago. I was painting on the inside of my house and getting some materials, and I was in my truck and I was tired and I was laying down, and I felt somebody try to open up my truck door, and I had it locked. So I immediately hit the panic button, so it made it flash, and he hurried up and scrambled away, and I went behind him, and I called the police, and I'm like, you know, that's a bad job description right there, because, you know, somebody could easily hurt you for 60 to 70 cents worth of change. I know a lot of cases, people store firearms in a car. That's not the best way to do it, and that's where a lot of the crime has been coming, because they've are looking for guns in people's cars. And if they've gotten your car once and found a gun, you're going to be a person, they're going to come back and remember where you're at, because they were able to find that gun and sell some good money, make some good money off of selling that gun.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll, we literally have, and we can see it, you know, we can see what happens when some kind of group will come through that are trying to get guns. And they'll go through a neighborhood, and they'll go through every car. They might break out the window, and they don't even take the change. They don't care about change. They don't care about the others. They're looking for guns. They're looking for guns in your cars. Please don't leave your guns locked in your car. Bring them inside. If nothing else, put them in your trunk and lock them in the trunk if you have a trunk. But they're literally looking for guns, and that's all they do. Is go out and look for guns and cars.
And for those, another crime safety tip, Amazon sells a combination lock. It's a steel gun case that you can wrap around. It comes with a heavy-duty steel wire. You can put it in your trunk, wrap it around it. and they've got two of them. One has a three-digit combination, one that has a key. So if you've got to have a firearm in your car, you can use that. And absent them coming with a reciprocating saw, they're not going to be able to cut through the steel. It's thick enough to where it can be bolt cutted. They'd have to cut the frame of one of your trunk arms just to get it out. They don't come prepared for that, so you make yourself just a little bit of a hardened target. And that's what SEPSET is designed to show you, things you can do, especially in your house or in your car or whatever, to make yourself reduce the chances of you becoming a victim of crime.
Yeah.
So, Officer McCall, we can't talk about everything that the CIO does, but KCPD has an interesting YouTube channel where they talk about the CIOs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So on our YouTube channel, Cher Conger highlights several different things on the department, but I think she started out with
units.
Us.
Units,
yes. So she went out with the CIOs and followed us around and did pictures and videos of everything that we do. And that was everything from, you can go to YouTube, I don't know the exact website, but we can certainly get it to you so you can share it. But if you go to YouTube and type in, I think it's the KCPD 1041.
Yep.
It's called 1041, and it highlights what we do. Everything from attending HOA meetings to planning events like movie nights, job fairs, PAL night. We have Southland PAL. We have PAL in the city. We have toy drives. We have blanket drives. We do snow cones with cops. So she just highlighted everything that the CIOs do throughout the city, all the way from north up in the airport to south down with us at South Zone.
So, Officer Whitehead, what's a phone number where people had a question or comment that they could call or email you to get help or resources to find out different things that are going on in the community or events that you may attend or wanting to do an attend event?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say the number, 816-949-1634. That's my number at my office. But you can also go on to the kcpd.org website and go under contacts, I believe it is. And then you can go to your specific division, whatever division you might be in, Metro or South or Center or East. And it has all the emails and all the phone numbers for every for both CIOs in your area, and you can call those numbers directly, and they'll get back with you.
And they also have some great information about how not to become a victim of crime, white-collar crimes, different things, you know, scams that are going on. So it's definitely worth a look. To look at the YouTube channel, to look at the information, you can print it out and give it to others, so you kind of know this doesn't look right. So you just mentioned it, Officer McCall. You all have an event today at 4:00. Tell us a little bit about that event.
We do. So we're working with Dollar General, and they're hosting snow cones with cops at 99th and Holmes, and they're doing it. Dollar General's doing it throughout the city. Everybody, it's free to everyone. We come out, get a free snow cone, meet the officers in your area. Ours, like I said, is at 99th and Holmes. The superheroes are coming from the Wonder League. We have, I think we'll have our ATVs there. Aaron and I will be there. We have all kinds of resources and flyers for our upcoming Southland PAL, for our movie night that's coming up next month. We have just all kinds of resources to share crime prevention tips and fun stuff coming up. And that's tonight from 4 to 6.
4 to 6, 99th and Holmes at the Dollar General.
Yes.
And you can come out and get... Is there any cost for the snow cone?
No, everything's free.
So there you go, folks. It's a hot day, a good way to get a cool treat, bring the kids out, and get some good information at the same time. So, Officer Whitehead, what area... As you mentioned, you've got Shoal Creek, North Patrol, East Patrol, Central, Metro, South Patrol... I think there's six different divisions. Mm-hmm. How big is South Patrol, and what are your boundaries?
South Patrol, if I remember correctly, is 72 square miles with, I can't remember the population, 50,000? 100,000? It's on one of our PowerPoints, I know that, when we do our some of our different trainings. But the actual boundaries over on the west side by State Line, Bannister, State Line, and then clear out to 155th Street. And then over on the east side, we move then up to, we go way up, but 87th for the most part. And then Raytown is, you know, we kind of almost surround Raytown. We surround Grandview, and then we border up to Lee Summit over there. Lee Summit. Clear over Lee Summit Road, I mean, Kansas City. So, yeah, if you think from 135th and State Line to Lee Summit Road and or over there by Truman East, that's a long trip. So we're a pretty big area, pretty broad area.
Can you repeat your phone number and your UOL's email again so people can know who to contact or where they can find that information again?
816-949-1634 is mine. And the email is aaron.whitehead at kcpd.org. And like I said, that is, I mean, it is on our website. You can look it up anytime. And I think there's even a link you can just click it and it'll bring up your email and send, you know, send an email, and I'll let Mary give hers if she wants.
Mine's 816-672-2828, and my email address is mary.mccall@kcpd.org.
And even if you're not in South Patrol, if you want to email us, that's fine. If you feel more comfortable just because you were listening this morning, that's I'm fine with that. And we'll, you know, we'll get you to where, you know, we can get answers for you and try to get some help for you.
As we close out, our last question, is there anything else that people need to know about the CIOs and how they can help and them in their community?
I really just to know that we want to help. You know, it sometimes, you know, I think there's a some kind of thought about police officers that, you know, we're not really wanting to help, and I guess, I don't know, or not there at the times we need to be there, and but we really do. We're trying our best, and especially as the CIOs, we really just want to connect with you and try to help, you know, with whatever we can, no matter what it might be. We may send you to the city, but you know, maybe something totally different than the police department, but we'll try to help.
I would like to thank Officer McCall and Officer Whitehead for being our guest today. We're never in Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. If you reside in Kansas City and would like to have a police officer do a crime prevention through environmental design, walk around of your home, contact the police officer nearest you and ask for the Community Action Officer to schedule an appointment. There's going to be a free food distribution today at Mount Sinai Church, located at 3634 Brooklyn, from 10 a.m. to noon. If you need a smoke detector for your home, call the smoke detector line at 816-513-4648. And also, job of the week, Quick Tip is hiring this week. Starting pay is up to $20 an hour. There's going to be a job fair this Saturday at the Quick Trip Division Office, 5725 Foxridge Drive, from 9 a.m. to noon. And in some cases, it's starting out at $20 an hour. So join us next week for another episode of Countdown Conversations, as we will have Charles Johnson with My Brother's Keeper, and they do the food distributions like the ones happening today. But Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day. Stay safe. Wear a mask if you're susceptible to COVID. And stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
And the time is 10 a.m. And if you have just tuned in, you've tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And it's time for My Place.